Hey, it's Joe. Are you like me, taking hormones to feel like you used to feel? Maybe you're just thinking about it. Well, I'm taking TRT. I love it, and I find it frustrating. Hormones are so complicated to get right. To get another perspective on this problem, I invited pharmacist Nayan Patel to the show because I knew he would tell me some things I didn't like, things that were contrary to my current protocols. And he did not disappoint. I am still thinking about some of his expert advice, but some I have already acted to implement. So, do you want to know more about what a hormone expert thinks about managing hormones? All right, let's talk to Nayan Patel. Dr. Nayan Patel, welcome to the Wise Athletes Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me here today. Appreciate the time.
Thank you for your time. In fact, as a pharmacist, I've ever had one other pharmacist on the show, and you guys have amazing educational background. You guys know the ins and outs of these drugs like nobody, better than the medical doctors, better than anybody. So I'm very excited to have you on here. Before we dive into the weeds of hormone health, which is the topic for today, why don't you give our audience a little bit on you? You know, who are you? What do you do for a living? How did you get to be an expert on hormones?
Okay, well, we'll start from the middle first, and then we'll go from the back and the front. How about
that? Why not?
So, and the middle part is that, hey, I'm a pharmacist. I graduated from local Southern California School of Pharmacy and been practicing as a compounding pharmacist for the last 29 years pretty soon. For a very, very long time. But before I went to pharmacy school, actually, I was in aerospace engineering. Oh. And I started my career as a physics and a math major in aeronautics and trying to figure out a way how to do space travels and things like that.
Cool.
And at that time, it was rather difficult. I wish Elon Musk was there before my time. That way I could have been given the dream of achieving that part. But it was not something that I could have pursued as a career. Yeah. And I said, you know what? I can transform that learnings into organic chemistry and see if I can make some sense with the medication. And sure enough, it was a very easy reciprocity in terms of my knowledge base. And I became a pharmacist. And while going to pharmacy school, my first job I was working for my cousin who had a compounding pharmacy dealing with what? Hormones.
Oh.
So as an intern since 1993, I've been working as a compounding pharmacist intern, compounding pharmacist after I graduated. And so dealing with hormones is all I've known for the last 30 plus years.
Excellent.
Right? And I've seen the ups and the downs, and mostly ups nowadays, but I've seen how it changed the world in 2003 and 4 when the government halted the study about hormones causing breast cancer and all kinds of diseases, and they said, hey, synthetic hormones are bad for you and we should stop everybody taking the hormones. And I've seen that whole wave transform into how patients are dealing with the hormones. And today we are dealing with these hormones even in a very different matters. But just letting you know that as a pharmacist, I have dealt with the same set of hormones forever. And the reason is because for the last 40,000 plus years, our human genome hasn't changed.
Mm.
If that hasn't changed, why do we have to change the hormones? We don't have to. And so that's one of the reasons why we're talking about this today. It is not that complicated. What makes it complicated is because we throw too many wrenches in the system and doesn't need to be there. And so we're going to peel all these onions today, and we try to get to the core of the issue. And hopefully we give the audience a very clear-cut path for success. And they should know, I don't care if they're 35 years old or 75 years of age, right? There is a plan for everybody to how to achieve optimum hormone health. And more importantly, how can that be one of the tools for optimum health for longevity? That's what we're all about here.
Yes. Okay, so our audience here, just to be clear, our audience is the older athlete. It's fine. Mention anything you want about 35-year-olds or 15-year-olds or whatever. But the people who are listening here, essentially all of them, I assume, are going to be like me. I'm 63. I've been an athlete off and on most of my life, and I am right now focusing on using my athletic efforts in order to make me a healthier person so that I can be even better as an athlete for
the rest of my life, you know, because that's a big part of what gives me joy and makes my, gives me some meaning in my life. And, you know, us older athletes, when we are thinking about hormone health, lay people I'm talking about, you know, we're thinking in terms of things that, that we have heard are related to it, you know, like building muscle or keeping my body fat down or recovering from injuries or, you know, from hard exercise, you know, in addition to, you know, the basic kinds of things of just being a human being, you know, like having a sex drive and being able to perform, you know, normally that way. So, yeah, sex hormones is kind of top of mind for me and I think my audience. But I think that your story is that there's more to it than just you know, putting on a patch or getting an injection. Tell us.
So let's talk about sex hormone first, because I don't want to I don't make sure that people, I don't lose the audience at the very, in the first 5 minutes, right? Okay. I want to make sure that they stick around to listen to it more. Good. But at the same time, I want to give them the truth. Sex hormones are actually only 10% of the total solution.
Wow.
So let me break it down, right? Think of a pyramid. Huh. Think of a pyramid. If you look at the pyramid, the bottom of the pyramid, which is 40% of the total solution, or in some cases, total problem, is cortisol, stress management, adrenal glands.
Wow.
Right? That's 40% of the total solution. And guess what? There are no pills for that. Well, hopefully there are no pills for that, because if I give you steroids for the rest of your life, it's a catabolic hormone, it's going to break down your body. So in reality, there is no pills for that. You have to manage your stress through other modalities like exercise, sleeping, eye gazing, walking, talking to, having meaningful conversations and hydrotherapy. There's so many different things you can do, yogas. And, you know, there's so many things you can do to reduce the stress load in your body. And this is what we're talking about. It's the stress, or the adrenal stress, or the brain stress, and things like that. So that's 40%. We're not talking about oxidative stress. We're going to get to that as well. But this is just staying in the hormonal cycle in the endocrine system. This is the main stress we're talking about, okay? Adrenal stress. Right about the adrenal stress is what? Insulin or your diet. That's 30% of your total solution. So between the diet and stress management, it's 70% of the total solution for hormonal health, optimal hormonal health is in your hand.
That's a lifestyle?
It's a lifestyle. Absolutely lifestyle, right? But people, the thing is, they're assuming that the sex hormones, if I take care of optimal sex hormones, then everything will fall into place. No, it doesn't fall into place unless you play a part in your own personal health and development. And so that's what I want to make sure people understand, that as much as the doctors and pharmacists like us can help you get to an optimum health, you got to do your part 70%. You come 70%, I come 30%, and there's a match made in heaven, right? After the insulin, guess the next 20% is thyroid management. Now, thyroids, understandably, there's a lot of toxicities in the world. It eats up your thyroid gland. There's a lot of pollution, especially nuclear pollution that's in the environment, UV radiations, things like that. And that can affect your thyroid gland to a point where you become either overactive or underactive thyroid. And of course, there's a blood test for that. The doctors can figure it out and then do appropriate treatments and get that regulated enough. But thyroid, it basically controls your whole body core temperature, make sure it's, you know, it doesn't go too high, too low. And with the appropriate temperature, there's all this chemical reaction that happens in your body, happens at an optimum speed and optimal rate and optimum outcomes. All those things have to be managed by thyroid. So that's important. And the last piece, the 10% of the total solution or the problem, whatever you say it, is sex hormones. So if you're going to put 100% faith in the sex hormones, you're going to miss almost 70% of the total solution, which is in your own hands. So if you tell me that, hey, I like to have a glass of wine to wind down, and then I'm not a super athlete today, I say, well, you have to come a little bit, and I'll take you to the rest of the thing. But you have to do your part first. Right? So having an optimal diet, having optimal stress management activities, right? Making sure you check in with the doctors to optimize your thyroid functions, and at the end of the day, sex hormones. When all those four things are intact, now your endocrine system is fully intact, and you can expect certain outcomes, right? Now, if you're young, those outcomes are easy, because if you're a 35-year-old, I know you don't have a 35-year-old audience, but I'll tell you, if you're a 35-year-old, if all those four things are intact, you can build like muscle mass like anybody's business, right? You have a proper diet, and boom, you gain muscle mass. But now that you're 63 years of age, having a perfect endocrine system by itself is not enough. You also have to worry about your oxidative stress markers. And you're going to say, what the heck is that, right? That's because most people, they'll go, but now, what is this stress? Is it the same stress as when I don't have money? I said, no, it has nothing to do with money or anything else. Oxidative stress is something that is accumulated over time, because you breathe oxygen every single day. Oxygen gets inside your body, and it's supposed to get neutralized and get rid of it, or whatever is unused. But if you cannot get rid of it, it starts slowly, slowly oxidizing your body from inside. It's like slowly oxidation, like rusting your body, like a nail that is getting rusted, right? Mm-hmm. That oxidative stress is actually accumulating after the age of about 25 to 30. And then over the next 20, 30 years, it is basically rusting your body from inside out. So you can have all the new sex hormones, all the new diet plans, every single thing that's working out for you. But if you have no answer for the oxidative stress markers, if you cannot neutralize them and get rid of them, I don't care how much you do on this side, it is not going to be a foolproof system. And so getting old is not easy, because it takes way too many things to come into fruition for it to feel optimum. But the thing is, there's ways to do both system simultaneously to make sure that you have the best outcomes, right? And so we can dissect whatever way you want to dissect now.
Well, in the end, what we want to know is, what should we do? You know, how can I tell which problem I'm having that I should focus on first? Hopefully I can discover that there are some of these potential issues that I don't have, and I don't have to spend any effort on those. But in the end, I want to know, how can I tell my body, signal to my body, help my body, maybe with exogenous chemicals, to be more like it used to be when I was younger, and my human being function was better.
Absolutely. So to go to that place, you got to keep thing one in mind. As you start aging, what happens, the body accumulates all this misfolded proteins, all those junk cells that it has accumulated over the time. Because as you get older, the body stops getting rid of all these senescent cells or zombie cells or dead cells and things like that. It just collects all this, I call it garbage cells inside your body. So those have to be eliminated, right? You cannot put more garbage in your body if the body doesn't have a way to get rid of it in the first place. So that means, right? So that means, hey, only thing you should drink is ever just water. I know it's not fun. I know you got to have some coffee and some tea and some once in a while a beer or alcohol, whatever makes you happy for that moment. But the body does not need any of those things besides water. Okay? H2 is all it needs, because the body is made of carbons. And carbons has everything has carbon has hydrogen molecule attached to it. And for you to metabolize those carbons, you need the hydrogen. And it comes from water, plain and simple, right? And so nothing besides water should go in terms of the liquids. And same thing with the diet. Less is more. Absolutely less is more. And so as you start aging, what happens is that we are eating like we were eating when we were 20. And it doesn't work out this way, right? And
are we talking about the volume of food?
The volume and the type of foods you eat.
Okay.
Right? Now, if you're a super athlete, you had a high intake of proteins, good lean proteins in your diet. But guess what? As you start aging, too much proteins, your body cannot digest it properly, because you have low stomach acid to begin with. And then what you have is an overabundance of these proteins in your body that causes inflammation. So overconsumption of food is actually not helping you. In fact, it's causing more inflammation. And so inflammation, now you exercise and you're going to tore a muscle that you can't repair pretty fast either because of the oxidative stress markers. So all these things, if I compress all these things into a protocol for you, I'll tell you simple stuff, right? This is very early on. This is the first 20 minutes of this podcast. I'm only giving the protocols on how to survive and not to live a long life. But here, this is what I do. I can't tell you what you should do, but I'll tell you what I do. I'm 54 years of age. I have more energy than ever in my life before. I don't work out as much as I should have. Actually, I don't work out a whole lot at all. Maybe my total workout is about 13 or 14 minutes a day, and doesn't include a lot of strength training either. But I'm feeling really, really fantastic, and my biological age is actually under 50, wow. So even though I'm 54 years of age. And so I can tell you what I do. So I drink water only every single day. Now, I do cheat once in a while in terms of coffee. Don't get too excited. I have no alcohol in my system, but so don't get too excited. Okay. But I do drink coffee once in a while. Coffee intake is literally maybe an ounce of coffee with almost 25 ounces of water, hot water. And inside that, I put about 5 grams of amino acids. Because guess what? I'm vegetarian by choice, right? I used to eat meat when I was younger. I gave up all my meat choices because honestly, too much protein is not going to serve me what I need. We eat protein to get amino acids. As a pharmacist, I said, Why am I putting my body through torture of breaking down these amino acids when my stomach acid is low to begin with? Might as well just take amino acids, you know, the essential amino acids that you can buy from everywhere else, and I get those into my diet. And if I get those into my diet, all of a sudden, guess what? My protein intake is all taken care of it without having any expenses. So that's my protein intake. I just take amino acids. And I mostly all my lunch is just vegetables. It's just a salad, and there's nothing else besides salad and some little bit of fruits. I do eat dates every single day, but as a vegetarian, my iron sometimes get a little bit low on the lower side. So I eat the dark dates every day, at least one date every day. But that's in a nutshell is what my diet is, and I try to eat less, and yet I'm still. I'm not a big bone guy. People always say if I'm a little heavy, because I'm a big bone or I have a big muscle mass or whatever the excuses to tell you. But I'm 6 foot tall and I'm about 165 to 170 pounds in between. And my fat count is still a little bit higher than normal. I should work on my diet as well. But I try to control every single thing to my diet as much as possible. And I've done my blood test recently. When I say recently, in the last 1 year, I've been evaluating a whole bunch of new testing companies that's out there that's testing for gene testings and organ testings and mitochondrial testings and metabolic testings. There's so many different companies out there that offer all this testing. And I literally spent well over $3,000 on all these companies to get me my test done, right?
Cool.
One thing is in common, and every test I've done, my biological age is actually lower than my current age. That's number one. All my metabolic markers are the best I've ever seen. It's like a 20 year old person. All my biological markers are 20 like a 20 year old person, right? And even before I used to drink alcohol, maybe 2 to 4 beers a month. That was my maximum consumption of alcohol. And I'm never a heavy drinker, but even that I gave up a couple of years ago. So I'm basically completely alcohol free. And my whole body composition has changed because of that. So that's one thing. Second thing, how do I reduce my stress downs? Right? Daily meditations. Every single day I meditate every morning. But besides meditations, guess the three things I do. Meditate in quietly, in peace. And I think about one thing. What am I grateful about today? I woke up today. That means I have a chance to make a difference in this life today. And my thing is today, what am I grateful about today? And this morning, I was so grateful that you invited me to come on your podcast, because I will be able to change lives of not just you as a person who's going to interview me, but your listeners who trust you that you're going to bring the best person on your show. And so that was it's my way of saying thanks for inviting me today, and I can make an impact on all your listeners today.
Awesome.
So I'm thankful about that. I'm thankful about other things that came to my life yesterday, or something that was 10 years ago, and things like that. I'm grateful that my dad chose me to send me to America for my education so I can be a part of this society and make an impact in this world. And so things like that. So every day that I wake up, I want to be grateful about a few things, right? And the third thing I do is that I remember things that bring joy in my life. Right? Mm. My kids, my dog, my wife, the way she looks at me, the way she hugs me, the way my kids will look, come and give me high five, just walk in the hallway in the house, you know, I say, hey, dad, well, what's up? You know, just gives a high five, you know, things like that. I just, all this different joy that brings into my life. I don't want to think about anything that's going to put me down. And so for the about 10 to 15 minutes, my heart is filled with abundance mindset, right? I got everything in life. I have all the joy in the life. I woke up this morning. My mind is completely clear. And with that mindset, I am out there going to conquer the world, right? And so that's my daily routine in the morning. After that, I'll do a little bit of stretching. I should be doing more exercise, but you know, let me get there. Hopefully 2026 is the year for me to get awesome. There. But I'm going to get there in terms of doing some dumbbells and kettlebells and things like that, and start to increase my skeleton muscles. I'm not interested in big muscle mass. I'm definitely interested in improving the skeleton muscle mass, because that's what the strength comes into play, because muscle needs 3,100 amino acids coming together. And if you don't have all the muscles coming together, you can have a muscle mass, but it will be very, very weak. And I want strong muscle mass that is actually have strength in there. I don't want a muscle that has weakness in there. And so I want to keep on focusing on those kinds of things. And everything that I do in terms of my diet and reduction of stress exercise is an all-day thing like this. Everything that I do.
And that's the 70% of this pyramid.
That's it.
How are you doing on the rest of it?
So the rest of it, my thyroid is completely okay. When it comes to testosterone, I do go see a doctor since I'm 54. And my testosterone needs are actually very, very low. You know, you'd assume that my testosterone level is low, so I have much higher needs. Honestly, after the age of 45, the stimulant for muscle growth comes from protein or amino acid intake more than testosterone levels itself. And so having the protein in your diet or the amino acids in your diet will stimulate more muscle mass and muscle growth better than testosterone can give you. Testosterone can make you feel better because gonadal hormones or sex hormones are actually affecting your pituitary. Serotonin and dopamine levels is affecting that. So you feel good mentally, but physically is actually the proteins or the amino acids that is actually doing the work. So don't get me wrong, you need both. So I do take a small replacement of testosterone, a very small replacement of testosterone, probably about between 7.5 to 10 milligrams per day at the most topically, right? Mm. It's a topical gel that I rub it on. It's a very small amount, which is our body produces about 9 milligrams of testosterone per day. So I'm literally replacing 100%, even though I know that only 30% gets absorbed into your system. So I'm only taking one third of what my body actually produces. And so that way I can still allow my body to do what it's supposed to do. And besides that, I just make sure my diet is properly intact. And all my metabolic markers are probably the best I've ever seen. And I compare my data from 14 years ago.
Well, that's really good. So let me ask you a couple of questions about that, because I wonder if maybe you need so little testosterone because you've got the base of your health so strong, as opposed to maybe somebody who's trying to use exogenous testosterone to overcome weakness in their lifestyle. They need even more to try to feel better because they're essentially not healthy.
Well, yes and no. The answer is yes to most people that, hey, they need more testosterone because the body does not respond to the low levels because there's so much oxidative stress, so much metabolic stress inside your body that the body needs more testosterone to just to overcome the anabolic response. And that is true, a part of it. The other part is that there's an assumption that testosterone is going to be associated with muscle mass and longevity. And the thing is, we are taking things out of context. Hmm. When you're younger, your testosterone level is over 1,000. Mm-hmm. But now that you're 60, 65 in between there, hey, my level is 250. I need to be at least 900 or 1,000. That's how I was. That's the only thing that was there. But you don't keep in mind that at 25 years of age, when the testosterone level was 1,000 plus, every organ system was optimally functioning for you. And now that you're not able to take the debris out, you're actually overloading your body with more work. And so that's what's usually what's happening. Now, I have a lot of ex-NFL players, Major League Baseball, NBA basketball players as patients of mine. We have police officers that have retired, sheriffs that have retired after decades of service. And, you know, these guys are very well-built people. And they come to us and say, hey, I have still the muscle mass, but dude, I'm so weak now. I can't do much things anymore. Why do I get stronger? The first thing I tell them is, hey, it's unfortunately, but you got to fix your diet. He goes, what? You're telling me that I fix my diet, I get stronger? I said, absolutely, it'll do for you. Marvelous things for you. Fix your diet, bring the metabolic stress down, and get your oxidative stress down with the help of glutathione. If you do those two things alone, and guess what? With an amino acid supplementation, you will have better, stronger muscle growth with low testosterone level than actually taking the testosterone by itself and hoping the body will do the rest.
Interesting. Okay. I want to understand the hormone optimization thing a little better. I mentioned to you before we hit record here, but I'll mention for the audience's sake that I am currently taking testosterone. You know, like yourself, I probably am taking more than you are. It has made a big difference for me. I'm doing an injection, Cypionate. When I first started taking it, I thought, oh, I take one injection, I'll be Superman, right? You know, I'll be Popeye eating a can of spinach, you know, but it was nothing like that. Like at first it was like, I felt more tired, you know, it's like I felt nothing or I felt more tired. It was like, oh, this is very disappointing to me. Over time, I have gotten what I wanted out of it, but yet it's still complicated because there's more than one sex hormone and the ratios and how they interact with each other matters. So even though I'm not a child developing into a man, I'm a man developing into an old man, and I want to go back to being a man. And so, you know, how do I get my hormones in balance? That means some of them have to go down and some of them have to go up. And I'm not sure how we can get into the weeds on that. I'll just use me as an example. My total was like 300. And my free was like 2. Now I'm at like 1,000 total, maybe 9 something, and free of like 12. So my free has not really come up as my total has come up. My estrogen has always been on the high side, and now it's even higher, you know, like 100. And there's no doubt that until very recently, my cortisol was like Guinness Book of World Records. My cortisol was bad. I had high cortisol at night, couldn't sleep through the night, you know, probably had low cortisol in the afternoon and I'm sleeping at my desk. And, you know, by the time I go back to bed, I can't sleep anymore. So I was totally a wreck. I'm not sure if it's the testosterone or what, but my sleeping is very good now. But still, I'm looking to try to get my hormones to be more right for me. And I think a lot of guys are like me. They've done the testosterone. Hey, I've gotten something out of it, but I'm still not really quite where I want to be. Help us with that. And I think we could talk about like symptoms versus blood tests but how do you know what to do?
Absolutely. So you raise a very, very good questions because And thanks for sharing your personal data, because it just helps me to identify how to address the issue correctly. Yeah. Because what you're doing is no different than what 95% of the people are doing out there.
Yeah.
There's no different, right? And the 5% of people that listen to us, the pharmacist and people like me out there, they will tell you that, oh, you're overdosing yourself. Mm. And the reason is because the body has a defense system already built in, right? Mm. If your body produces too much of testosterone, guess what? It will quickly convert into estrogens and try to get rid of it. Because estrogen is a down metabolite. That means testosterone can convert into estrogens. Estrogen can convert into 2-hydroxy and the 4-hydroxyestrones. And eventually the methoxy, the methyl groups can detoxify them and boop, you pee it out. Done. Mm. Right? And so that's the defense system built into it. And if estrogen levels rises too much, then the body also has something called sex hormone-binding globulins, SHBG, that will shoot up really high, and they'll bind every single thing because the body cannot get rid of it fast enough. I say, okay, dude, I can't take care of it because this is going to kill you. So the body will produce sex hormone-binding globulins to basically nullify every single thing, so that way everything goes back to normal. Hmm. And all this signaling, all these things is telling me one thing. You're taking too much of testosterone.
Hmm.
So instead of reducing the dose down, the doctors are going to give you anti-estrogen pills.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's just block the conversion from testosterone to estrogen so that way it stays more testosterone. Well, that wasn't the problem. The body already thought that you have too much of testosterone. So by increasing that more testosterone, that's not going to solve the problem. That's just body says, oh my God, you really did not get my message, did you? Right? So that's what happened. So we end up prescribing medications to the point where we are misusing the medications because we think we are smarter than the body. And in reality, we are just going in the complete opposite direction for what the body is trying to for us to do. Mm-hmm. And so the ideal treatment would be to lower the dose of testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, oh, I'm not going to feel good. I said, I know. You're not going to feel good because guess what? You haven't changed anything else besides taking testosterone.
Oh, okay.
So that's what this is. A lot of people over-exercise, right? Over-exercise more than what your body can handle. And now all of a sudden what you have is oxidative stress. Hmm. A lot of oxidative stress. Because if you have a weak muscle and then you strain the muscles beyond what it's supposed to be doing, and now all of a sudden you have mitochondria that's screaming at you. I said, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you making work so hard? I don't have enough ATP to keep up with this demand. And right? And so it gets really, really sore, really, really fast. And what she goes, oh, I got sore, so I should thank God because now I'm going to build more muscle mass. No, the body will not respond to it because sometimes the soreness comes from lactic acid that is actually destroying your muscle to begin with. Mm-hmm. Right? And so when I say less is more, is what you have to do is you have to look at your body and see and work with your body in the rhythm that the body wants you to do. So you got to start doing things that are stacking up correct good habits, right? I'm going back to your old habits again: meditations, cold plunging, hot sauna, whatever you do, de-stressing, vitamin G or gratitudes every morning, yogas. Whatever to calm your brain down, right? Then you stack with really good eating habits. Absolutely no smoking, no alcohols, absolutely not, right? Now, if you drink coffee or tea once in a while, that is caffeine. It's kind of a hypothermic type of reaction. So burn your, increase your metabolic rate. I'm okay with that as long as you don't add milk and junk in there. It's kind of okay, you know.
Let me ask you about the caffeine. Yeah. How much caffeine? I mean, one cup of coffee, is that going to, you know, injure me some way? What if I'm having 5 cups of coffee?
Well, thing is, there are some components in caffeine that have shown to have an antioxidant effects. But to me, I don't drink coffee for the antioxidant effects because I have glutathione that I take every single day. That's going to take care of all my oxidative stress markers, right? Mm. I just rub it on in the morning. It's a topical solution. Just rub it on, and I'm done for the morning with the glutathione. So I don't need the coffee for the antioxidant benefits. What I'm looking coffee is at is that it's actually increasing your metabolic rate. So it's at the low dose, it's actually making your system faster, right? So maybe half a cup a day with a lot of hot water, maybe it's enough for me. I don't know the exact number for it. I know for a fact that five cups is probably very high for you, for anybody that's out there. Even though people say, oh, I will not survive if I drink less than 5 cups of coffee a day. I say, yes, you will. Yes, you will. Because guess what? It's not the coffee that you're after. What you're after is the adrenaline. And why do you have to adrenaline? Because your cortisol is all messed up now. You burned your adrenal glands out, so you're not producing any more cortisol. So now you're working on adrenaline. So now you're tired and wired at nighttime. You can't fall asleep because guess what? You are this adrenaline junkie that you have to have. Hit me. I want excitement. I want like it. I love you. What you're doing. I want all the social media coming to me. Come on, hit me with every single love that I need. I'm craving for. And what you're doing is you're getting adrenaline in your system. And to get adrenaline out of your system, the body will produce thyroid. In reality, I prescribe thyroid medication, the T3, the active form of thyroid, to help people fall asleep. And the doctors looks at me. I said, "What the hell are you doing?" I said, "Doc, look at these people. They are adrenaline junkies. They can't fall asleep because they're too wired up. They think they're drinking coffee in the morning to get up in the morning because they didn't sleep night at the nighttime properly, and so they are making one habit for another habit they can't control." So I prescribed them T3, which is an active form of thyroid, and literally in 10 minutes they are just knocked out. Gone. Because all the adrenals is out of the system. The chest palpitations goes completely down. The resting heart rate goes down. Boom. And they just fall asleep like crazy. So all my movie stars and my CEOs of big corporations, these are all my clients of mine. And I do these kinds of treatments, which is a little bit weird treatment for most people. Yeah. And it's not addicting. It's not like they're addicting drugs, right? Thyroid medication. And I tell the people, if you change your behavior, you won't need this medication because this medication is not safe. Long-term usage of thyroid medication is going to affect your heart.
So it's not something that is so this not, is your chance safe. To cut back on the coffee, huh?
Yeah. So these are the kind of things I do. So when people come with me with some behaviors, my goal is to look at the behavior and figure out which behavior are they willing to let go first. If I tell them the whole thing that they have to do, holy shit, they're gonna throw at me and say, "Get the hell out of here. I'm not going to do what you're telling me to do. There's no way. I need to go to a doctor who understands what minimum changes I can make for the maximum benefit." And for me, there is nothing like that. There is no minimum changes for maximum benefits. It's all or none for me, unfortunately. And so all I tell people is, hey, do what I do. Don't have to do what I say, but just do what I do. And if you like what I do, then go for it. I'm not going to tell you anything different than what I do myself personally.
Right. So let me ask you about that. You had talked about your diet, which it sounded like it was a very plant-based diet that was sort of lower on the end of calories, maybe not even very high on protein, but helping you to keep your body fatness down. And probably you're metabolically pretty healthy. You eat some carbohydrates, your insulin goes up, and it comes right back down. What is there any consequence to doing diets that like where you don't eat any carbohydrates and now your insulin is down all the time? Now you're not insulin sensitive because you don't have any insulin or hardly any, but you avoid the insulin problem, or do you?
So here's the thing. Are you talking about the famous Atkins diet, which is a protein-only diet?
Sure.
Right? The doctor, he died off his own diet in the first place, right?
Yeah.
So let me unpack that for us, because I do know people that just eat lean proteins and zero carbs whatsoever.
And carnivore.
It's carnivore diet completely. And they shred like crazy. They shred. They get a six-pack. They just look amazing. But have you seen the heart panel of those people? It is... It's a very pro-inflammatory diet. And so the heart health is suffering because of the diet in the first place.
So you can have a six-pack and be unhealthy, huh?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I we had somebody, one of my schoolmate from my high school. I just got a, you know, I'm in this chat group from my high school from like, I don't know, 95 years ago. I don't know. It's just a long time ago. At the age of 46, he was playing badminton. 46, a doctor, healthy, boom, dropped and died on the spot. Right?
Widowmaker, yeah.
Perfect health. Everything was good. Perfect diet, right? He was on a high-protein diet, and his heart was completely inflamed and a massive heart attack and just died on the spot. The other three people that he was playing with, all doctors, gave him CPR immediately, right? Immediately, CPR. Could not save him. This happened 2 days ago. It's terrible. It's terrible, right? These are the kind of things that no matter what you do, go for your – make sure whatever you're doing – make sure you look at your heart first, because all this thing is going to affect your heart by all means. Too much testosterone can get you cardiomegaly, which is enlargement of your heart as well. So making sure that the heart doesn't get enlarged, there's not too much inflammation going on. All the sex hormones are pro-inflammatory on top of it. So too much of hormones the body cannot process can also cause inflammation. And got so it. Everything in moderation is good for us. And then on top of that, if you're taking pro-inflammatory drugs, and then if you have a pro-inflammatory diet, then you have pro-inflammatory drinks. Now all of a sudden that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and you're stressed all the time, and you're not sleeping right.
And then you're stressed all the time, both metabolic stress, oxidative stress, as well as the brain stress from having to worry about finances and the spouse relationships and all kinds of other things.
Let me ask you about women, postmenopausal women. So they have it worse than the men. The men, their sex hormones and other things are declining fairly steadily, but the women, theirs just kind of stops. They hit a wall. They're not making any more estrogen anymore. How does a woman deal with this to get back to more feeling like a younger version of herself?
So this is something that everybody should know this thing. And I don't think everybody knows this part, which is men and women, the number one hormone in both men and women is the same, which is testosterone.
Okay.
Okay. So when women hit the menopause, all it's telling me is that they have done producing babies. And all those women life when they're young, all those ups and downs and the flamboyancy and the breast and all those things, all the figures and the excitement that you see in women is because of estrogen progesterone going up and down every month for procreation. Women are designed to attract men to procreate. Okay. So the sex hormone, which is estrogen progesterone, was designed to give you all the female or sex characteristics for a lady to procreate, right? But when you hit menopause, all the hormone says, hey, I'm done producing babies, so get rid of all the hormones you don't need, right? But guess what? Women have been accustomed to having that feeling for all this 40, 50 years. You can't lose that feeling, right? And so having a mild replacement for estrogen progesterone therapy is absolutely necessary for these women. And they do fantastic. I will beg to differ. I think women age gracefully better than men do. Right? Because women, they get help very early on. They didn't wait till menopause to get help, by the way. They get help early on in perimenopause time. And they will maintain that they will try to get the cycles all properly balanced so they don't fall off the cliff. And they will continue the therapy in well into menopause and beyond ever, right? So in my practice, I've seen women do actually much, much better than men do. Right. And the reason is because women get help early on. And by the way, you'll be fooling yourself if you do not give women testosterone. Because women's need for testosterone is the same as men needing testosterone. Unfortunately, FDA has no approved drug for women to replace testosterone. None.
I see. Now, their bodies do keep making some, right?
The body makes some. And the body makes enough just to sustain the body. And all the testosterone, all the hormones actually in menopause of women is produced by the adrenal glands, which is the stress hormone gland. Hmm. And so wait a second. Here's the thing. If you're menopause, your stress gland, adrenal glands, is producing all your hormones. Hey, it's not producing enough. So here, it cannot manage stress because it cannot produce enough stress hormone. It also producing not enough women hormones, so it cannot produce your cycles of make you feel good. So women have this really shitty outcome where they cannot manage stress and they can manage hormones because it's one gland producing every single, because the ovaries are actually getting dried up and shriveled up into menopause.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so women have this really bad, shitty deal when it comes to the hormones, but they get help and they come out like really, really happy on the other side.
Fantastic.
Now, the problem is that if they gain weight in the very later stage of perimenopause or early stage of menopause, and then they come for help, mm-hmm. that reduction of weight becomes extremely difficult. And that, unfortunately, the body holds onto the fat cells like Fort Knox. I don't want to let it go, right? Because I don't know when I'm going to need it more. And so that becomes very, very difficult to let go of that fat cells. And so having amino acids in the diet will really help you, making sure that there's no alcohol, there's no cigarettes in your sort of activities or your cheat days, right? Having a proper diet that is hypoglycemic diet, not too much into high insulin diets. And that would help, but it takes years. You're not going to get this in a 3 month shot time, right? Now they have a shot they can inject nowadays. It's a very barbaric way to lose weight, and God knows what's going to happen in the next 5 years. I know what's going to happen in the next 5 years, but it's not pretty from what I'm seeing right now. But
GLP-1.
I think if you do the right thing, you can still get there. You just have to wait a little bit longer. Okay. But you will get there.
Okay. Okay. That's great. Thank you. So I see we're going to run out of time here soon, and we've sort of just started. Dang. But I've got some questions here. Let me just kind of hit you with these questions, and then you just tell us whatever we might want to know. And you just touched on it, but when should people look for help? How would they know that they're having this issue creep up on them? They're maybe not feeling good, but they think that that's just age, or, I'm just tired from whatever. How could people know? Because I think what you've said is, don't let this go too far before you start to try to right the ship. So when should people start?
So if you're early on, if you're under the age of 40, 45, at the most 45, 40 is better. If you're under the age of 40, and if you're feeling sluggish, you can measure a testosterone level. Get it measured. If the levels are low, don't do anything else other than fix your diet, fix your stress management. If you can do those two things alone, you'll spruce right back up to normal. Nice. If you're over the age of 40, now you're coming into my territory, that you still have to do those two things, but that's not going to be enough. That is not going to be enough for you. You might need to get low-dose replacement therapy, work with a physician to get you started right away. And I always go for low-dose. I like to keep my testosterone into testosterone range only, never get converted into estrogens. If the testosterone is getting converted into estrogens and the estrogen levels are rising, that means you're overdosing yourself. Cut back on the dose. Because you can only give what your body wants. You cannot give more than what your body needs or wants. And so if it's converting into estrogens, that means you have to fix something else because the body does not want any more.
All right. And so is there low energy, you said? Are there, how about like low sex drive, or are there other symptoms, and are there any blood markers?
So the blood markers are just testosterone levels mainly. Estradiol is rising of estradiol levels. You see the centripetal fat tissues around the abdomen getting bigger. You have less in spontaneity, just not that aggressive anymore. You just like a couch potato. You know, you're gaining weight. You're just amotivated. Sex drive, of course, is going down. But the thing is, do not get fooled by erections, because erections are because of DHT, which is dihydrotestosterone, and that will drop almost 5 to 10 years after the testosterone drops. So just because you have an erection, that doesn't mean that you're still okay, right? Because when that drops, then you're really troubled now. That means you're at least 10 years behind schedule. You gotta have a lot of catching up to do. So don't look at erections. Look at libido. Might be a different way of looking at it, right? The drive itself.
Yeah,
and so things like that. So if you're in the category, please seek help immediately.
I got you. Although the DHT is also involved with like prostate growth, isn't it? Aren't people using like anti-DHT drugs to try to keep the prostate from growing?
It is, but it's the worst way of doing that part, because in all my findings over the last 27 plus years, I found out that taking DHT blockers, God forbid if you get cancer, a prostate cancer, that cancer is going to be super duper aggressive. And so I really do not like DHT blockers. Even in the herbal supplements like saw palmetto and nettle roots and things like that, I do not recommend anybody taking any DHT blockers whatsoever. All you have to do is control by testosterones and diets and things like that to get the alpha-5-hydroxylase enzymes under control. Because medication-wise, it is not going to be pretty if you ever get prostate cancer.
Okay, so let's move on then. I've heard you say that you should always, if you're going to replace hormones, you should always replace it with bioidentical hormones. I think that I've read that. So tell us about that, but also touch on what I take is the cypionate, which is not bioidentical in the bottle, but my body converts it into a bioidentical once it's been injected. But I guess the part that wasn't bioidentical is still there or something. Anyway, tell us about bioidentical.
Absolutely. So it is, if any medication that you take, it is bioidentical or it's not. You cannot do the other way around. Oh, it will make into bioidentical afterwards. No, it doesn't work that way. So I know it's to put your ease to mind so that you don't complain too much of taking the medications every day. So bioidentical means the chemical structure of the actual molecule that you're using, either injecting or taking topically or putting a pill or whatever it forms, is the identical structure of testosterone that your body produces. But keep in mind, the testosterone is produced endogenously inside your testes, or in female cases, it's in the ovaries. We're not injecting testosterone into the testes or the ovaries, right? It's still going to be outside. It's still going to be in the cytoplasm outside the organ. So there's still a lag time as to, we don't know what the ramifications are. But what we do know is that this bioidentical testosterone replacement is the body has enzymes in the liver to get rid of it within 12 hours. So once you take it, the body gets rid of it in 12 and a half to, but that means 2 to 3 days, it's completely out of your system, everything out of the system. Compare that to like an injection form, which is an ester form of testosterone. And the reason they do ester form of testosterone is because they get dissolved inside the oil. So that was the main reason why they attach another molecule so it can dissolve inside the oil so it can inject it properly. But when they did that part, the body now has to take the molecule, chop it off, the ester part, take the testosterone out of it, but it's not very efficient. So it takes them anywhere from 14 to 15 days of half-life. That means it takes 70 days to get rid of it from your body. Now, if it's something that is good for you, then it's okay if it stays in my body for 70 days. But testosterone, even though it's good for you, the body sees, hey, this is too toxic. I want to get the use out of it and get rid of it. Because too long testosterone inside the body is converted into estrogens, converted into can also stimulate prostate cancer growth, things like that. So that's the reason why taking bioidentical hormones, the main reason is because the body has a defense system built in to get rid of it.
I see. But then you're going to need to take it every day so that you have sort of a steady load of it, as opposed to the shot where, I mean, I'm doing it three times a week, but no, when I first started on it, the doc was like, oh, just take a shot every 2 weeks. And I was like, wow, that just doesn't seem right. But yeah, so we'd have to take it every day then if it's going to be bioidentical and only last for 12 hours, right?
Well, 12 hours is a half, right? So it stays in the body for about 2 to 3 days maximum.
Okay.
So every 12 hours, it reduces half the quantity in the system. So bioidentical is the only good thing about the bioidentical is that the body knows what to do with it, whereas the synthetic form, the body has to figure out what to do with it.
Got you. Okay. And then as a pharmacist, how would you say your perspective, maybe knowledge base, is different from like a medical doctor?
As a pharmacist, again, so as personally myself, I don't see any patients anymore. All my clients, actually 100% of my clients are all physicians right now.
Oh.
So my job is to train the doctors for their personal health and also how are they going to use that knowledge to help their own patients. So that's what I do full time. That's all I do full time. I train doctors on how to design drug plans for their own patients. So doctors are extremely valuable when it comes to diagnosis. I want them to diagnose correctly. Tell me what's wrong with this person first. Don't tell me your opinions. I want to know exactly what's wrong with them, right? If you can tell me what's wrong with you, I can figure out a treatment plan for you easily, right? But if you're guessing what's wrong with you, then I have to guess what the treatment plan is going to be. And so that's why we work very closely with doctors to identify what their needs are, what they're suspecting is the diagnosis. Like andropause is a diagnosis, but that's not, well, he's losing testosterone. That's not the problem. The problem is what's going on? What's the correct diagnosis? What is exactly happening in this person's body? If he or she tells me exactly what's happening inside your body, Joe, I'll be able to design a plan for you that'll basically go from start to finish, from your diet, exercise, nutrition, everything that tailor-mades to your needs from now till the end of your life. I can literally design a plan for you that you can take on forever. And if you fell off the wagon because you forgot what to do, you can call us again. We'll put the same plan again. It doesn't change because I'm 63 now. Now I'm 995. It doesn't change. The plan doesn't change. What changes is that you forgot about it now. That's about it.
Awesome. Okay. So I'm going to ask you here in a second to, you know, tell the audience how they can find more information about this topic, you know, how to find you. But before we jump into that, I'm interested in, you've mentioned glutathione a few times here.
Yes.
And I know that that's one of your specialties. What should we know about glutathione?
So the glutathione is by far the most abundant molecule produced in the human body. And the body produces this much glutathione because it has a massive job for it to do for you. It is two things that it does for us. And one is antioxidant, which is quenches all the free radicals either coming from you breathe oxygen, the chemical reaction that happens in your body. And then you also body produces nitric oxide, and the nitric oxide can also causes damage to the body. So all those have to be neutralized and quenched to make it inert. And so that's the number one job it does. The number two job it does, it basically helps the conjugation pathways in your liver to get rid of all the chemicals, metabolites, toxic things that you expose to on a daily basis and gets rid of it. Those two things are the most important thing. And I'll tell you how important that is because glutathione doesn't get the glory because all it's doing is taking the junk out of your system. But imagine you going to a home and everything is just utter chaos. Absolute chaos. Nothing is clean. Everything is dirty. Stuff, your sink, your house, your bed, your laundry is not. I mean, everything is filthy, dirty. The best thing to do is buy a new house, or is that's not everybody's wheelhouse. We only have one human body. Or the other thing is, have a good maid that can clean the house spotless. When you go in the house, it's, oh my God, I can do everything now, right? So the maid doesn't get the glory because that's not maid's job. Maid's that is not his or her house, right? But glutathione is a maid for your body. And when it cleans out your body completely, what it's actually doing is unleashing your human potential to rejuvenate, regenerate your whole body. We talked about protein enveloping, right? As you get older, we have all these dead cells and all these zombie cells, senescent cells. We have proteins that have misfolded. There's nothing to make out of that. Those kinds of molecules, it's all floating inside your body. And as you age, it's accumulating. It's just getting junkier and junkier. Even though you may have a clean diet, the body is all this junk that has been accumulated. It's like having a house for like 50 years. This crap in the house all over the place, right? It's there, and nobody's cleaning it out. Glutathione is actually cleaning all those things out. And when it does that part, it allows the body to literally rejuvenate, regenerate every single thing. That's why most of my clients are ex-NFL, ex-NBA players. They have been healthy all this time, and now they're saying, oh my God, I need this glutathione. Plus, they also have head injuries, so they're also using for other reasons too. But that's what the main thing is for glutathione. By far, one supplement of glutathione, and we have a topical version because we have patents on the delivery system, it can literally replace 100 different vitamins that you can take. 100 different vitamins. And so that has been one of the biggest game changer in my therapy module that I offer to my customers.
Yeah.
Besides a healthy diet and exercise.
Well, let me ask you about why don't I have enough? Obviously my body knows that I need it and it makes a lot. And maybe I'm now needing more because I'm older and my body's making more waste and I need more cleanup and more antioxidant help. And somehow my body doesn't know that or it can't respond to that need. Is that right? What's happening?
So no, to make glutathione, you need 3 amino acids. Glutamine, glycine, and cysteine. Needs two energy molecules called ATP. Needs 2 enzymes and 1 molecule of NAD. Now, this is the chemical reaction process. These are all the components to make products. ATP is produced by the mitochondria. As you age, your energy levels are dropping. You have not enough ATP. Your NAD levels are dropping as you age as well. So you can have all the proper diet, all the amino acids in your diet and get the cysteine and the glutamine and glycine you need. But if you don't have enough energy, the body's not going to produce enough of it. And your needs actually does not change. They don't go high, but they don't change. But the reason it's going higher as you age is because guess what? Around about age 30 is the very first time your actual production of glutathione and the actual need is there's a gap between those. You have less glutathione produced based on your needs because you've just been misbehaving in your 20s. Alcohol, cigarettes, marijuana. I don't know what you're doing. Hopefully you're clean, but either that or you're over-exercising or whatever.
Something.
But the diet is the biggest component in that whole process. And when that gap increases, when the gap is there, now all of a sudden the body cannot neutralize everything the body is producing. All of a sudden the gap gets bigger and bigger and bigger. By the time you're 60, by the time you're 35, 40, that is humongous gap. There's early onset diseases that kicks in. Not a disease, but early onset symptoms kicks in, right? Oh, I have this symptom, that symptom. Oh, I'm pre-diabetic. I have a little bit, my cholesterol is a little bit higher. My oxygen is a little bit higher. Nothing to get scared of. We just have to watch. Watch what? Right? They don't give you any tips for that. That's what the glutathione does. Glutathione basically reverses all this damage back to zero.
And so I understand that I can't just take a pill with glutathione because it gets broken down in the digestion. And that's why there's people that do like IVs of things like that. Yep. I don't think you're talking about that.
No. So we were the largest producer for IV glutathione in America at one point, and we shut it down because there's a all the glutathione is a peptide. Glutathione is a peptide. Orally, if you take a peptide, it's like eating a piece of steak or chicken, right? The body will break it down into amino acids, absorb the amino acids. Same thing with glutathione. It's a peptide. The body will break it down into and just take the amino acids out of it. If you inject it, we thought, hey, if you inject it in the bloodstream, my job's done. Guess what? The body goes not so fast, dear. It spits it out and it puts in everything in the urine and you just pee everything out. Right? So that did not work either. And so We have my whole life work for the last 20 plus years is on glutathione. We have a whole new delivery system topically now that we can actually deliver topically intact. And now we have 10 patterns to prove it to you that it actually enters the blood cells into the mitochondria where the effects are going to be. So the results are pretty darn good in terms of antioxidants and detoxification pathways. And when you see that part, I don't care what kind of athlete you are. You can be amateur or no athlete or a professional. You're going to get results. I mean, currently we have active Olympic athletes, MLB players, NHL players, NBA players, and NFL players. All pro sports teams, we have clients up the wazoo using this product, but they only use it for the day they work out because the workouts are so intense, they want to protect the human body from breaking down, right? Mm-hmm. And so they use it post-workout, and they just snap out like really, really, really fast. So they don't have to wait for 6-8 hours for it to kind of buy to kind of regroup themselves, which is for athlete, that's pretty bad. For me, if I work out, I'll be done for 2-3 days. Forget 6 or 8 hours, right? And so how do I regenerate so fast? Yeah. And so the glutathione actually reduces all the oxidative stress that is created while working out. So all my athletes use it for that. And some of the athlete teams, it's in the locker room because if they get play a game and they're banged, like I have an ice hockey team, they get banged up. And if they get injured or swung, they just spray it on there. And literally the oxidative stress just comes down. It just matter a couple of days more using the product and they will heal, the body will heal itself.
Awesome. Okay. So I'll get the links to all of this stuff in the show notes. But tell our audience, where should they look for more info, how to find these things that you've talked about?
Sure. So as I said, I'm a company pharmacist. So my pharmacy is centraldrugsrx.com. It's C-E-N. T-R-A-L drugs, D-R-U-G-S, rx.com. Reach out to me, contact me. I'll be more than happy to consult with you. If you tell me that, hey, I was on this podcast and I want to talk to you, I'll be more than happy to make some time for you to at least consult with you, to at least help you put it in the right path if you have some simple questions. I'm not your doctor, so if you have a doctor that you're working with, have the doctor reach out to me. I'll be more than happy to work with the physicians to design a plan for you that is good for you, okay?
Awesome.
And I'll be more than happy to do that for you. I don't charge the physicians for that for my time at all. My goal is to help as many doctors as possible. And my goal is to teach them so that they don't have to keep on calling me every day. They can learn and they can keep on doing this forever. So that's one thing. The second part is, if you want to do my research, the work I'm doing for the glutathione, it's an Ouro Wellness. It's AuroWellness.com. Subscribe to my newsletter. I take time in educating about glutathione and what it does for you. And I have some blog articles that I wrote for athletes. You know, please read those articles. It'll give you hope that I don't care if you're a 35-year-old or 95-year-old athlete, right? I have an 82-year-old guy, a hiker, that basically climbed Kilimanjaro.
Nice.
Doable. I'm telling you, it is doable. Okay. So please subscribe to my blog. If you don't subscribe, just read that article. I think you'll be amazed to see the potential of human potential of how the body is designed to literally self-heal itself until the last breath. The thing that we are doing is we are doing more for a body, and the body does not need more from us. The body just wants, do less for me, just give me what I want, and stay the hell out of my job. I'll take care of you.
That's great. All right, Dr. Patel, this was really informative. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me here today. I appreciate it.
Yeah. My pleasure. Hey, have a great night.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for joining my conversation with Nayan Patel. You can find more information about him and his companies in the show notes.